This morning we want to spend some time thinking about Thanksgiving. And when I was thinking about Thanksgiving and when I was thinking about Thanksgiving dinner, sitting around a table, I thought about the Lord's Supper and Jesus on the last night of his earthly life, sitting with or reclining with his disciples around a table. And before we share where his words tell us to go and what his words tell us to do and how his words tell us to feel, I want to share with you why Thanksgiving is important. Two psychologists, Dr. Robert Emmons and Dr. Michael McCullough, are the foremost authority on research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all the participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. They broke them into three groups. One group was to write about all the things that they were grateful for that occurred that week. The second group was to write about the daily irritations or things that displeased them throughout the week. And the third group was to write about all the events of their week with no indication of how it affected them. After 10 weeks, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more, had fewer visits to physicians, and felt less aggravation over life. And so my thought is that we who know Christ ought to be the kind of person that expresses gratitude, ought to be saying, we need to give thanks. We need to look over our days, our weeks, our months, our years, and say, these are the things I am thankful for. Not only because it's the right thing to do, but because our lives will be better for it. And as we come to this table, as if we needed a reminder, let me share the truth of Matthew 26 in order to enable us to be more optimistic and to feel better about our lives. The first thing is that we learn gratitude from the blessing of the bread. If you look on verse 26, it says this: while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. And that's fine. Except that the word for give thanks, and I'm not sure what the King James says. Hold on. The King James says, while they were eating, they took bread and blessed it. It's a better translation. The word that Jesus uses here, the word that Matthew uses here, is eulogia. We get the word eulogy from it. Literally means a good word. But really what it is a blessing. God, Jesus saying, asking, offering up praise to God for this good thing. And it would have been a typical rabbinic blessing, almost equal in parallel to Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 19, is part of the feeding of the 5,000. And the feeding of the 5,000 is almost exactly the same terminology that's used here, where Jesus stands before the crowd, breaks the bread. The NIV then translates it and gives thanks. The King James and blesses it. It's the same word, eulogio. And this is what it says. Then he ordered the crowds to sit on the grass, and taking 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. That's what the English Standard Version says. Probably was the traditional blessing, which is, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Jesus takes this bread and says, blessed are you, God, because you bring us what we need to survive. We are grateful. We ought to be grateful, just as Jesus shared, for God's provision. Certainly, this includes physical provision. Whatever we have is because God gave it to us. The air we breathe is because of the physical laws of nature that were woven into the creation. The water we drink, the sunlight we enjoy, the rain we enjoy, the food we enjoy. All the things that we have, our homes, our cars, our all the stuff, we ought to be thanking God. But in the context of these verses, it includes the provision of Jesus, the Messiah. He takes the bread and he blesses it. And he says, most likely, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And what does he say after blessing it? This is my body. Blessed are you, God, provider of the universe, creator of the universe, King of the universe, who has brought the bodily Messiah to our presence, to our knowledge, to our understanding, to us. If you have experienced the provision of God, the provision of little things like breakfast this morning, or big things like knowing the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus, we ought to be giving thanks. The second thing we learn gratitude from the thanking of the cup. Verse 27, then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Verse 28, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus here does not use the word eulogia. He doesn't say a blessing. He actually uses the word eucharistio. Which means giving thanks. The Roman Catholic Church, if you were to go and worship at a Roman Catholic church this morning, they would have the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving meal, which is communion. And it comes directly from this verse and the other gospel accounts of this account, where they gave thanks. Jesus gives thanks. But in context, I want you to recognize that Jesus is giving thanks for the cup. He gives thanks to God for the vessel that God uses. He gives thanks for the cup and not simply the wine that was in the cup. He is pointing not to the process. And while he explains to his disciples clearly and in detail what is going on and what is happening. He is not primarily thanking God for that process. He is thanking God for the person, the vessel. He takes the cup, gives thanks, and then says, drink from it. Not like the bread, drink it, eat it, drink from it. And then explains what is in that cup. He gives insight into the contents of that cup. He says it's the blood of the covenant. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of a creature is in its blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. In Hebrews 9:22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus is saying, there is a contract between God and us. And the contract is that you are cleansed by the pouring out of blood. There is no other terms. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And what he says then is, this is the covenant. This blood is the blood of my covenant. This is the contract. My blood is being spilled for the forgiveness of sin. Metaphorically, Jesus is referring to his life. He's not simply saying, oh, I can get a little cut and if you have a drop of blood, you'll be forgiven. No, he's saying, that's why it's the cup and not just the contents. That his life is giving forgiveness. Therefore, Isaiah 53 says, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he pours out life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He poured out his life. So as we think about the cup, we are grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are forgiven. Because of Jesus, the righteous and all-consuming wrath of God is quelled. Because of Jesus, we have pardon. We have been declared not guilty. We have been declared as not having committed the offense. And if you have experienced the pardon of God, the removal of our guilt through the death of Jesus, then we ought to give thanks. As we come to this table, as we think of what Jesus did, we are overwhelmed with thanksgiving because he has removed the guilt. He has satisfied the contract. He has, for all time, satisfied the wrath of God. The third thing, we learn gratitude from the joy beyond the garden. Verse 30. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sang a hymn. He had his disciples sing a hymn before they went to the garden. This term, sang a hymn, we get the word hymn from it. The Greek word is hymnio. And it means to sing a hymn. But it's only used four times in the New Testament. Here, referring to the Last Supper. In Mark, referring also to the Last Supper. In Acts 16:25, where Paul and Silas are in prison and they are in chains and they are singing to God a hymn of deliverance. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, which Hebrews 12, 2 is a quote of Psalm 22, 22, which is talking about all the things that have happened that have brought us far away from God. And then the psalmist says that they are to sing a hymn and declare the deliverance of God. This term is used in Scripture as a means of praising God for His future. When they sang in the garden, they were singing of the deliverance of the Messiah before they went to the garden, before He gave up His life on the cross. But with the sure and certain hope that all these things would accomplish exactly what Jesus had promised. Jesus sang because He knew the resurrection before the resurrection. And we ought to be singing because we know our deliverance is coming. We ought to be like Jonah, who sang in the belly of the whale, the big fish. He praised God and prayed to God and thanked God for His deliverance while he was still in the midst of the fish, knowing that God would provide. And we are grateful for the deliverance of Christ. Because of Christ, we know that death no longer has restraining power. Because of Christ, we know that the grave is empty. Empty of its power, empty of its influence, empty of its sorrow. If we have experienced the power of God, the power that overcomes the grave and conquers sin, then we ought to give thanks. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God, give us gratitude for Your provision, Your pardon, and Your power. Let Your grateful spirit shine this week in light of all we have in the Almighty. As we turn to our closing hymn, let us sing, knowing what God is able to accomplish. Thanking God for every breath we take. Thanking God for the sufficiency in times of plenty and in times of need. Thanking God for every good and perfect thing. May our prayer, may our lives, may our conversations reflect this attitude of gratitude, this spirit of thankfulness. And may we say, God, give us gratitude for Your provision, Your pardon, and Your power. Shall we pray?